Brothers and sisters, welcome to the Family History Leadership Session at Roots Tech. We're pleased to welcome Elder Quentin L. Cook of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, who presides at this meeting. We welcome also on the stage Elder Ronald A. Rasband of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, Elder Patrick Kieran of the Presidency of the 70, Elder Bradley D. Foster, Elder Larry Y. Wilson, Elder Brent H. Nielsen, Elder Donald L. Hallstrom of the 70, Bishop Dean M. Davies, First Counselor in the Presiding Bishopric of the Church, and Sister Joy D. Jones, Primary General President. And we welcome as well their spouses who are seated in the congregation. We welcome also other general authorities, Area 70s, and General Auxiliary Presidencies, their boards, and spouses. Thank you all for being here this evening. Wherever you are, thank you for assembling in other places to join us this evening. Our opening hymn this evening will be hymn number 300, Families Can Be Together Forever. Sister Stephanie Thomas will lead us in the singing, and Brother Mark Hamp will accompany us on the piano. The invocation will then be offered by Sister Janet McKinnon, a Temple and Family History Consultant in the Kennewick and Yakima, Washington Coordinating Councils. Thereafter, we'll be favored with a special musical number, I Am a Child of God. Sister Kenya Clark will be the vocal soloist with Brother Andrew Unsworth at the piano and Sister Sarah Arneson on the cello.
Our Father in heaven, we are deeply grateful unto thee this day for this privilege we have of assembling together. Grateful for the programs and plans that facilitate this. At this time, we're also grateful and pray for President Nelson, his counselors, the Quorum of the Twelve and the 70, as they lead and guide and direct us. We pray now for a special blessing to be upon those who have parts in this presentation this evening, that they may know of thy love and thy support for them, that they may feel of thy directions. We pray that our minds and hearts may be opened, that we may feel of the Spirit and receive the revelation that thou would have us receive, that we may know the things that we should remember and the things that we should do. We say these things now, praying for all who have special needs. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you for the invocation, and thank you for that beautiful musical number that invited the Spirit to be here this evening. I've been asked to speak first. After my remarks, we'll hear from the following individuals. Elder Bradley D. Foster of the 70 and the Executive Director of the Family History Department. Sister Joy D. Jones, Primary General President and a member of the Temple and Family History Executive Council. Elder Donald L. Hallstrom of the 70 and the Executive Director of the Priesthood and Family Department. Elder Patrick Kieran of the Presidency of the 70 and Elder Brent H. Nielsen of the 70 and the Executive Director of the Missionary Department. In April 2017, at General Conference, President Henry B. Eyring outlined the doctrines and principles involved in the divinely appointed responsibility we have to gather God's family on both sides of the veil. Let's watch this excerpt.
Families are the basic organizational unit of the eternal realms. Because he loves us with the love of a perfect father, God wants us to progress and advance and become like him. He ordained a plan by which we would come to earth in families and have experiences that would prepare us to return to him and live as he lives. Our Heavenly Father is anxious to gather and bless all of his family. While he knows that not all of them will choose to be gathered, his plan gives each of his children the opportunity to accept or reject his invitation. And families are at the heart of this plan. You and I accepted this plan. In fact, we rejoice in it. The prophet Malachi said that in a coming day, God would send Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. At ever-increasing rates, people seem drawn to their ancestry with more than just casual curiosity. To gather and unite God's family requires more than just warm feelings. It requires sacred covenants made in connection with priesthood ordinances. Many of your ancestors did not receive those ordinances, but in the providence of God, you did. And God knew that you would feel drawn to your ancestors in love and that you would have the technology necessary to identify them. He also knew that you would live in a time when access to holy temples where the ordinances can be performed would be greater than ever in history. And he knew that he could trust you to accomplish this work in behalf of your ancestors. Now, we do not know what marvels God will inspire people to create to help in his work of gathering his family. But whatever the marvelous inventions may be that come, their use will require the Spirit working in people like you and me. The work of gathering Heavenly Father's family is not just for young people, and it is not just for grandparents. It is for everyone. We are all gatherers. This is the work of our generation. What the Apostle Paul called the dispensation of the fullness of times, when he said God would gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. I testify that God the Father wants his children home again in families and in glory. The Savior lives. He directs and blesses this work, and he watches over and guides us. He thanks you for your faithful service in gathering his Father's family, and I promise you the inspired help that you seek and need.
To be gathered, each of God's children needs to receive in person or vicariously baptism and confirmation. Once they're gathered by baptism and confirmation, they are to receive in person or vicariously the ordinances of the temple. Receiving the ordinances of the temple is something the Book of Mormon refers to as being gathered into garners. This second gathering provides these protections. Yea, they shall not be beaten down by the storm at the last day. Yea, neither shall they be harrowed up by the whirlwinds. But when the storm cometh, they shall be gathered together in their place, that the storm cannot penetrate to them. Yea, neither shall they be driven with fierce winds whithersoever the enemy listeth to carry them. These protections occur because those gathered are in the hands of the Lord of the harvest, and they are his, and he will raise them up at the last day. On January 16, 2018, President Russell M. Nelson encouraged church members to keep on the covenant path and to begin with the end in mind. We encourage everyone to get on the covenant path as soon as possible, even and especially when they're new and tender in the gospel, and then stay focused on the blessings of the temple. This encouragement is because the data are incontrovertible. Young men who participate in temple and family history work have a higher rate of being ordained elders and going on missions. New converts who participate in temple and family history work are retained at a higher rate. Those who are new and tender in the gospel include 12-year-old youth and new converts. As they are focused on temple and family history work, more will remain active, more will be protected when storms and fierce winds strike. We invite all new converts and new 12-year-olds to discover and gather their families and become active participants in the plan of salvation. We desire to involve 11-year-old children and even younger children in family history work and encourage them to qualify for limited use temple recommend when they turn 12 years old. We desire to involve every new convert who is 12 years old and older in family history work and obtain a limited use recommend. These invitations are universal and not geographically restricted. In other words, the distance between a 12-year-old and a new convert and the temple does not affect his or her ability to participate in family history work or to be worthy of and obtain a limited use recommend. Involvement in family history helps these members feel close to the temple, regardless of where the temple is located. It's not a matter of geography. With a limited use recommend, we encourage new 12-year-old members and new converts to perform proxy baptisms and confirmations in the temple, whenever and wherever possible. We recognize that this will not be possible for all, because geography is a factor for this invitation. Efforts to fulfill these invitations to involve new 12-year-olds and younger children and new converts will have a halo effect on all who help. Faith in the Savior of the families and friends who help will increase. But how can we accomplish this? Ward Temple and Family History Consultants provide the answer. At Roots Tech in 2017, President Russell M. Nelson remarked, "If I were a missionary today, my two best friends would be the Ward Mission Leader and the Ward Temple and Family History Consultant." They can be our best friends too. We can apply President Nelson's thought to our challenge tonight to invite new converts and new 12-year-olds in temple and family history work. If I were a bishop, primary leader, youth leader, parent, or anyone else who loves a child and wants to see him or her stay on the covenant path with the end in mind, one of my best friends would be the Ward Temple and Family History Consultant. Similarly, if I were a bishop and wanted to help new converts stay on the path, on that covenant path, my best friends would include the Ward Mission Leader and the Ward Temple and Family History Consultant. For the next hour, we'll learn more about our new best friends, the Ward Temple and Family History Consultants. We'll also learn how the primary can help and how the ward missionary efforts are blessed by these invitations. Tonight, we'll also view several videos that will help our understanding. And I might add, if these videos do not tug at your heartstrings, well, then I don't know how your blood is circulating. I testify that this is the Lord's work, that He lives, and that He's hastening His work on both sides of the veil. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you, Elder Renland, for the vision you've shared and how Temple and Family History Consultants can help participate in this great work. Thank you all for being here in the Conference Center, as well as the many Temple and Family History Consultants watching this online. We're glad you're with us. You consultants have one of the most exciting and profound callings in the church. Heavenly Father wants all of His children home again, in families and in glory. Imagine your unique role in that plan. I've learned that if you want to endear someone to you, do something nice for their children. Imagine how Heavenly Father will feel about you as you're doing something nice for His children. You will help them discover their families, gather them together, and connect them and to Him. Think of how parents and grandparents on the other side of the veil will feel about you as you help their posterity discover them, gather their stories, connect them to each other through temple ordinances. Nephi describes his family discovery experience. "And thus my father did discover the genealogy of his fathers. And when my father saw all these things, he was filled with the Spirit." At that moment of discovery, he was filled with the Spirit, and his heart was turned to his fathers. You, as Temple and Family History Consultants, will strive to help all members have their own moment of discovery. That same spirit we feel upon discovering our family moves us to gather them. Everyone deserves to be remembered. We do that through stories, photos, and other memories, along with the names, dates, and places into the family tree. This family effort connects and binds us together in love on both sides of the veil. It heals us and ultimately seals us for eternity through the covenants and ordinances of the temple. This ongoing cycle of discover, gather, and connect is now being enjoyed by families all over the world in record numbers. Temple and Family History Consultants, Heavenly Father wants you to follow the Savior's example as you work with these you've been called to help. In 3 Nephi, we see how the Savior went to where the people were, invited them to come to Him, and this they did, going forth one by one, until they had all gone forth and did know of a surety and did bear record. The Savior ministered to the people one by one, just as you will minister to those whom you've been called to serve. Going to where they are, this may be in their homes, in their daily activities, or in church settings. The Savior made sure they had their own individual experiences. So they did. Know of a surety, and did bear record of Him. Then He took their little children, one by one, and blessed them, and prayed unto the Father for them. And He focused on the little ones individually. They were accompanied by angels who did minister to them. Under the direction of your priesthood leaders, as you minister to those you are called to help, angels will accompany you and them. As one of 81,000 Temple and Family History Consultants around the world, this is the privilege you'll have in this one great work. To help you in your stewardship, we invite you to go to the many resources on FamilySearch.org that'll help you. Let's now watch one of three new videos you'll find on FamilySearch.org/calling. These videos show how a Temple and Family History Consultant followed the Savior's pattern of one by one to help one of Heavenly Father's children who needed to be healed. You'll see her discover her family, gather them together on both sides of the veil, and connect their hearts to each other and to Heavenly Father.
I recently moved away from home to attend college. The first couple of months were hard for me, and I started to struggle with depression. My bishop thought that working on my family history might give me something positive to focus on and be a nice change of pace.
As the Temple and Family History Consultant, the bishop suggested I meet with Catalina. In our initial meeting, we talked about her goals, which is something I've only recently started doing with the members I work with, and it really allowed her to open up about some important things.
My family disowned me when I was baptized many years ago, and I remember telling Brother Matthews in that meeting that my deepest desire was to have a family again, even if it was just on paper. I think that was the first time I had said those words out loud.
I felt very insignificant in being able to help her. I knew I had to rely completely on the Spirit. As I prayerfully prepared an experience for her, I learned there wasn't much I was able to do because gathering information for her ancestors could only be done in her family's homeland, with physical records. I was discouraged because I knew that contacting her family was not an option.
I didn't expect much to come out of our next meeting. I figured he wouldn't find anything, and I really didn't get my hopes up.
We opened the meeting with a prayer. And although I knew that her direct family was a sensitive topic, I felt I should talk with her about how much we needed their help from back home. I suggested she prayerfully consider who she might approach.
I immediately had the thought that I should reach out to my sister, but I did not want to. As I went home and prayed about it, the prompting would not go away. So one day I finally gained the courage to message her. I asked her for any information our family might have.
I prayed so hard for her. I'll never forget when she came back to meet with me after she got the first message back from her sister.
She offered to help me with whatever I needed. I was so happy. That was one of the most incredible moments of my life. It was not what I had expected. We started corresponding back and forth, and pretty soon even my parents were visiting grave sites to help us find the information we needed.
Every time she would input another name on her tree, she jumped out of her seat and let out a squeal of joy.
Not only have we started filling up my family tree, but I've been able to take some of those names to the temple. For the first time, I feel like I have a family again.
I think we have both witnessed the Lord move mountains in her life.
My mother and my sisters have been so inspired by the discoveries they've been making and how they've been feeling that they took the missionary discussions on their own and have decided to get baptized. My father, a Methodist preacher, has even softened his heart.
It is truly remarkable to see that after years of her joining the church, it only took 4 weeks of doing temple and family history service for her family's heart to change.
I can't wait to return home to see them be baptized and share the joy of the gospel with them. I will be forever grateful to Brother Matthews for listening to the prompting he had. My life will never be the same.
I treasure this calling. I know that following the Spirit in this work allows the Lord to bless all who are involved. Temple and family history work isn't just about our deceased family. And it's not just about our living family. It's about our entire eternal family.
Consultants, as you pray with and for those who you get to serve, we promise you the blessings and inspiration and understanding that you need. I know this is Heavenly Father's plan. He wants His children home again, and we can help. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
It is a privilege to be with you this evening as we consider the rising generation's involvement in discovering, gathering, and connecting their families. Children love to learn about their ancestors. Family stories can teach them important lessons and help them develop a foundation of strength they can draw from throughout their lives. Our prophet, President Russell M. Nelson, said, "It's wonderful to turn the hearts of the children to their fathers by telling important family history stories in ways that are accessible and memorable." Close quote. Children resonate to meaningful family stories and love discovery experiences. Temple and family history consultants can lead young people into the world of family history, along with their parents and other family members. Like you, I realized that working with children might require different methods than working with adults. But I promise you that it's worth the effort and the necessary adaptations and creativity. Plus, it can be fun. Acting out a meaningful family story, learning about their family culture or even family recipes, viewing pictures of their relatives as children, or talking about and recording their four generations in the My Family booklet are all simple ways to begin connecting with children. However, quoting President Nelson again, if our collections of stories and photos should ever become an endpoint in themselves, if we know who our ancestors are and know marvelous things about them, but we leave them stranded on the other side without their ordinances, such diversion will not be of any help to our ancestors who remain confined in spirit prison. So, what are some of the specific benefits of children participating in family history, of not only learning their family stories, but also helping to free those beloved ancestors? First, parents often notice an increase in confidence in their children. Studies actually demonstrate that children who are more familiar with their family narratives show more resilience, more self-control, and less anxiety. Second, children sense that they are part of something greater and experience a feeling of belonging. Family history creates an intergenerational consciousness that helps bind the generations together. Third, family history leads children to pray and better understand how to listen to the Spirit. They may not know how to do all aspects of family history research at first, but they learn how to pray for and listen to the Spirit and to trust the promptings they receive. Fourth, children can have a powerful influence in encouraging their family members to take part in discovering, gathering, and then connecting ancestors by performing ordinances in the temple. Family history work is missionary work. Fifth, children often have a pure and simple faith that helps them to be successful as they do family history research. Sixth, many church members never learn the blessings of family history until later in life. As our children learn to do family history at a young age, they have experiences that stay in their hearts for years to come and create positive lifelong habits. Seventh, primary children have begun submitting names to the temple, either for their family members to perform the ordinances or in preparation for their own 12th birthday when they can receive their limited use temple recommends and perform the baptisms and confirmations themselves. Children with experience in family history are excited to go to the temple, not only to experience the sacredness of the Lord's house, but also because they feel a connection to their ancestors and want to perform their ordinances for them. When possible, parents are highly encouraged to attend the temple with their children the first time and even subsequent times. After children participate in the ordinances of baptism and confirmation, parents and other family members can then complete the remaining ordinances. I testify that our Heavenly Father has provided this special way for our children to receive greater protection, increased power to resist sin, and a more deeply rooted love for their families as they learn to discover, gather, and connect their ancestors in the temple. Children can be instrumental in the work of salvation. They can lead us as they contribute to this inspired cause, which is turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Let's now watch two temple and family history consultants as they do an in-home visit with the Morrison family. Please pay particular attention to how these consultants prayerfully prepared to gently guide the patrons to discovery experiences.
My name is Jillian Davidson. I am a family history consultant. You don't need someone that's been a genealogist their whole life. You just need someone that's willing to learn. I guess I'm the person that gets people excited.
And in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
All right, so like what we talked about, guys, we have the family history people to come and help us a little bit.
I'm thinking for the younger kids, we are going to need to do stories.
So I'm going to take the kids. Do you guys want to do story time and dress up and be Indians? Let's go upstairs then.
Okay. Jim is a cool guy. You can tell he has a strong testimony. He's always known he's needed to do this, but he hasn't gotten started yet.
The story we did in the play was about my great-great-great-grandma and the Indians that raided her house. She went and hid in the cellar, and the Indians didn't find her.
Where is the poison?
Where is the poison?
I think one of the challenges that they're going to have and that a lot of people have is when you're already strong in the church and you are already going to the temple and partaking of the sacraments and doing everything you can, you're already receiving blessings. And so sometimes it's hard to see how it can be so much better.
These are my great, great, great.
Is that the same as a blacksmith?
I don't know.
That's what it looks like.
That was just really, really cool to be there with Landon and searching for that. And finding that information together.
Now I'm invested. It's more than just curiosity. I want to get these people to the temple.
I'm grateful to participate in this leadership session and to be an additional witness to Sister Jones about how family history can bless children. In the video we witnessed, the success of engaging children in family history, of making the experience both informational and inspirational. This is vital as we seek to instruct and edify our children and youth. As children mature spiritually, it is essential that they have personal experiences that allow them to feel the influence of the Holy Ghost. This is how they become converted unto the Lord and never fall away, as the Lamanites taught by the sons of Mosiah were described. The gospel is the plan of God, whereby each of us can gain eternal life. Which gift is the greatest of all the gifts of God? The gospel teaches us our true identity as a son or a daughter of God and the indispensable role of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and his glorious atonement. When these eternal truths go from our heads to our hearts to our souls, we transform from those with faith to those with testimonies, to those who are converted. Family history is a superb vehicle for this magnificent process. As children and youth and those young in the gospel engage in family history research, it is easy
for the Spirit to embrace them, because this work is at the heart of the gospel. It is because service to others is reflective of our love for Jesus Christ. It combines the first commandment, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind," with his admonition, "If thou lovest me, thou shalt serve me." Recently, the decision was made to enlarge the priesthood preview the primary has long held for 11-year-old boys to temple and priesthood preparation for 11-year-old boys and girls. Boys and girls have a need to learn about the priesthood and the temple and to prepare to qualify for limited use temple recommends, preparatory to receiving temple recommends that will, for a lifetime, represent the keeping of covenants. Connecting family history to the temple and the further service we render in the house of the Lord results in increased gospel understanding and greater opportunity for spiritual experiences. We must not teach these concepts, our identity, God's plan, the power of the priesthood, family history, and temple service, as independent, but all have elevated meaning and purpose when understood as one eternal round. Here is the ideal. A family together researches their ancestry, connecting them with those who have come before, with stories of faith, sacrifice, and perseverance. Family names are prepared for temple ordinances, with parents and adult children holding temple recommends and youth over the age of 12 holding limited use recommends. The family together attends the temple, and baptismal and confirmation ordinances are performed. Ordination, endowment, and sealing ordinances are subsequently performed by the adult members of the family. If any individual or family does not currently have the ideal circumstance, just do your best. We all have a vital place in this holy process. And importantly, do not forget our children. Engaging them from the youngest of ages and as they grow in understanding and spiritual sensitivity and opportunity will bless them forever. The seeds of the gospel will be planted and nurtured and will bloom with beauty. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I'm so grateful for this wonderful advice and counsel and a picture of what can be in relation to this extraordinary work. I was invited to speak and talk about my own experience as a new convert in relation to family history. I joined the church when I was 26, and when this invitation came, I said, "I'm not sure that I'm the one you want," and I'll explain why. As I said, I joined the church when I was 26. I was in London, and a little while after joining the church, I was told about family history. I suppose I was told about family history during the conversion process, but I didn't have any great recollection of that. And a friend somewhat excitedly said, "Let me introduce you to family history." And I thought, great, you know, that this wonderful new world I've been exposed to, and here's another piece, another chapter in this great story. And I remember being led along a corridor, somewhat dark, and into a room that was seemed at least to be dark or very poorly lit. That's very good. Well done, dear friends at the back. And and I opened the door, or my friend opened the door, probably halfway, and I looked in, and there was this, I'll call them a well-seasoned individual sitting at a desk just inside the door. And she looked up and looked at me and looked at us, and it was clear that this was an interruption. And I looked around the room past this somewhat irritated individual to the filing cabinets, somewhat dusty, some antiquated machines on the far wall and someone sitting with their back to us intensively toiling at one of these screens, big screen, old and dusty again. And then the lady who'd been by the door started to give me, again, some with some sense of irritation I felt. It wasn't actually there, but it was felt. An introduction to family history work, and she led me to some drawers, and she pulled them out, and there were discs, I think, in there, and led me over to one of the machines and described that, and instantly I'm hearing acronyms and jargon and also another foreign language, after the already foreign language I'd been introduced to in just joining the church with our interesting descriptions of so many things. And I thought, wow. Well, if this is it, I'm really not sure. And that's really how it was. Clearly, things have changed, and they did change for me sometime later when another friend said, tell me about your family, and do you have any pictures of your parents and grandparents? By that time, I had only my mother living. My father had died when I was 19, and I only ever knew one of my grandparents, and that was only when I was very young. So I did take out photos, and they said, well, tell me about them. And I did. And as we've already heard, wonderful things started to happen inside me. And I was able to talk about my seafaring Irish ancestors, my English ancestors who'd had military careers and worked in extraordinary parts of the world, and it was just wonderful. And at this point, I realized that it was like just as when one of our friends is being taught about the gospel by missionaries. When it's done with love and with the Spirit, it's one experience. And when it's done as a technical download, it's quite another. And it was just the same with my family history experience. As soon as I was being introduced with these stories and pictures, my soul was stirred and there were connections. And so that's what I know. And that's, I think, what we've learned as a church. And I know that's what you've been, those of you who are involved in this with so much of your time, have learned and are taught and are being reminded of this evening, that everything changes when we turn this to a Spirit-led work, when we're blessed and ministered to by friends who stir our souls with these stories and accounts. It's not a technical experience in an uninviting session setting with jargon and a foreign language. It's one of love and an embrace, just like the missionary experience, the experience we have with the missionaries. I'm so grateful that I've seen the not so good as well as the good. And as with everything else, it's transforming. And so what do I know? I do know that extraordinary things happen when it's done this way, and I know of the. I knew as soon as it was expressed in love and in the way I've described, I could sense the connection between, as I would have expressed it then, and really would now, between heaven and earth. And fascinating things have happened and continue to happen when we do this work. Last week in the temple, there were clearly connections going on down here when we just took a little step for family beyond the veil, instantly in that setting. An hour ago, I was shared by a dear friend, and it incontrovertible experience testifying of the connection between heaven and earth when we're in sacred places doing this eternal and vital work. I testify of these things and I know they're true. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. With the lights coming back up, we now have another opportunity to see a wonderful video of how this really should be done.
My husband and I were called as temple and family history consultants at a time when our state was struggling. President Morales, our mission president, asked us to work with the missionaries to find people the Lord had prepared to receive the gospel. We met with the missionaries to prayerfully create a plan.
We decided to ask our investigators if they want to know where their last name comes from and who their ancestors are. This has really opened up many doors for us. Nearly everyone ends up being introduced to a temple and family history consultant to discover more about their families. One of the families was the Garcia family.
My husband and I went to their house and were able to help them discover more about their family. We even started their family tree. They loved the experience, and we pray that they would want to meet with us again.
Their daughter, Ariana, was invited to church by some young women her age. It didn't take long until she decided to get baptized. We helped her make plans to go on the annual temple trip that was happening just a few weeks after her baptism.
As I started working with Ariana, she remembered stories of her grandparents, and we prepared their names to take to the temple. This was a spiritual moment for both of us. I helped her understand that by going to the temple to be baptized for her grandma, she was participating in Heavenly Father's plan of salvation for her eternal family. I promise this will bless her living family as well as her ancestors.
We were still meeting with the rest of the Garcia family, so as part of our discussions, we encouraged them to help Ariana.
My husband and I met with them often, and soon they had gathered numerous photos, memories, and family names. Their hearts were drawn to having an eternal family.
We saw a miracle because before the temple trip, Brother and Sister Garcia and another one of their daughters also decided to get baptized.
After their baptism, the Garcias joined my husband, myself, the missionaries, and many members of our ward as we took our own family names to the temple. It was an unforgettable experience. It is remarkable to see how fast the growth in this ward and stake has been since we started incorporating family history into missionary work. The ward has already split once because it has grown so strong.
Working this closely with the temple and family history consultants has completely changed our work as missionaries. Even after we get transferred and leave, the new converts still have a responsibility and friends in the ward. Not only that, but the spiritual strength that comes to those who participate in family history is miraculous. As President Morales says, we think we're saving our dead, but they are the ones that are saving us.
I never realized before now that family history is missionary work. It is the gospel, and it is beautiful.
If I were a missionary today, my two best friends in the ward or branch in which I would be serving would be the ward mission leader and the ward temple and family history consultant. People have an inborn desire to know something about their ancestors.
Well, by now you know why the missionary department was invited to come tonight. Missionary work and family history work are one work. We are in this together. Elder Foster and I were visiting one day, and we realized that both Elijah and Moses appeared in the same temple on the same day. After one vision closed, the other one opened. This is one work, and we consider it one work. And with missionaries, we use family history to find, but we also make sure that as soon as a new convert is baptized, that they make their way quickly to the temple. To show you how this works, I'd just like to introduce you to a wonderful young lady named Kayla Taylor. If I can get her picture up here. Kayla lives in Tempe, Arizona, and Kayla was trying to find peace in her life. And as she did that, she noticed that a lot of her Mormon friends seemed to have peace, And so she did something very interesting, which everyone seems to do these days. She went to Google, and she typed in, what is Mormonism? After she typed that in, fortunately, to the top of her page came Mormon.org. And Kayla clicked on that and was taken to Mormon.org, where she began to learn about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Down at the bottom of the page, it asked if she wanted to meet with missionaries. And Kayla clicked on that and began to chat with the missionary sisters who at that time were communicating with her from Hawaii. They asked her if she wanted to have missionaries come to her home, and she did. And a wonderful miracle happened as Kayla was baptized, a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Shortly after her baptism, her missionaries introduced her to the family history consultant at the ward, and Kayla began to do the work for her family. This, you think this is a wonderful story, but the story continues to get better. After Kayla began this work, she told her mother and father about the gospel, and her mother and father were then baptized. They then were introduced to family history consultants, and her mother and father and Kayla all went to the temple with the missionaries to do baptisms for their family and for their ancestors. The story gets even better because just last month, Kayla was sealed in the temple and is now a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and sealed to her husband. The story gets even better in that Kayla is here tonight, and we've invited her to come and share her experience with family history. Kayla, would you come and join us? Thank you very much.
I am so grateful to be here today and to be able to share my testimony of family history and the ordinance performed in the temple. It's been a long road to get here, and I know that one of the biggest encouragers that I have had is being able to participate in family history and going to the temple. Shortly after I was baptized, a few days later, I was able to sit down with the missionaries and the family history consultant at the time, and being able to search for my ancestors. The spirit that I felt was truly undeniable, and it was an incredible experience to be able to find my grandmother's name and to take her name to the temple and perform the ordinances for her. Upon my parents getting baptized, the joy I saw in their eyes as they sat down with the family history consultants, and being able to find their ancestors and the desire that burned in their hearts. I will never forget the day that we went to the temple, us all as a family, and my father, who typically is an emotional man, the tears that swelled in his eyes as he stepped into the font to perform the baptism for his late father was truly remarkable. The experience he later shared with us was that he was able to feel my grandfather standing right next to him, accepting this work. I know that family history work is a true work of God. I believe it is so crucial for new converts to be able to participate in this work, and that it'll keep them on the path of righteousness as they are able to search for their ancestors. I know that temples truly are houses of the Lord, and that as we do this work, we can draw closer to God and give those that have passed on the opportunity to the same blessings that we received here on earth, just giving of our time. I know that Heavenly Father lives, and He loves each and every one of us individually and as our own. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ.
Brothers and sisters, our hope tonight is that you will see this vision of one great work, that you'll understand that when a new convert is baptized or when an investigator is searching for the truth, that connecting them with their ancestors and with their family is critical for us in what we do. I'm grateful for the opportunity to participate with you this evening in this wonderful celebration of family history and the opportunity that we have to link our families together. And I share that with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, everyone, for those messages. Kayla, thank you. We're all grateful that Elder Kieran has learned to do so well in a foreign language. It's my distinct honor and pleasure to introduce Elder Quentin L. Cook as our concluding speaker. He's my dear friend and a colleague in the Quorum of the 12 Apostles and the chairman of the Temple and Family History Executive Council, which he has so ably chaired for 4.5 years. In that role, he inspires, leads, and motivates all of us who have the privilege of being members of that executive council. Following Elder Cook's remarks, we'll sing hymn number 249, Called to Serve. The chorister will be Sister Thomas, and the accompanist will be Brother Hamp. The benediction will then be offered by Sister Lynn Chapman, a Temple and Family History consultant in the Utah South area.
Thank you, Elder Enlin. I commend all those who have participated in this RootsTech leadership training session. We have been truly edified. On behalf of the leadership of the church, and particularly the Temple and Family History Executive Council, we express our profound gratitude for what is being accomplished by leaders, and especially by Temple and Family History consultants, to enable the salvation of the dead and the unification of families through temple and family history work. The doctrines of temple work and family history are easily to understand. The gathering of Israel is for the living and the dead. The work of salvation for ancestors is for the living and the dead. At the beginning of this dispensation, when the angel Moroni appeared to 17-year-old Joseph Smith in 1823, he restated verses from Malachi that highlighted the role of the prophet Elijah. Moroni said, "Behold, I will reveal unto you the priesthood by the hand of Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." 4 times, the angel Moroni repeated Malachi's words to the boy Joseph. Elijah was a remarkable prophet. Christians and Jews the world over accept the Old Testament account of Elijah. It was ultimately translated and carried into heaven without tasting death. As a seminal element of the restoration, Elijah appeared to Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery in the Kirtland Temple 1 week after its dedication. He committed essential keys for the eternal unification of the family, making the 110th section of the Doctrine and Covenants one of the most sacred and profound of all the revelations. The scriptures are clear that we, without our ancestors, cannot be made perfect. Neither can they, without us, be made perfect. Their salvation is necessary and essential to our salvation, resulting in the eternal unification of the family. This means that the salvation of the whole human family is interdependent and interconnected, like the roots and branches of a great tree. We treasure the restoration of sealing keys from Elijah, set forth in the 110th section of the Doctrine and Covenants. The doctrine that subsequently emanated from this initial vision is clear. First, the hearts of the children shall turn to their fathers. Second, there is in fact an essential link between children and their deceased family members. Third, for we without them cannot be made perfect. Finally, the means to achieve this link is proxy baptism for the dead. The prophet Joseph, in his initial revelatory instructions, referred to baptism for your dead. Our doctrinal obligation is to our own ancestors. That is because the organization of heaven is families, not geography or anything else. Accordingly, for some time now, the First Presidency has counseled members to do family history work for their own family lines. In October 2014, we prayerfully requested that in the near future, members would provide all the names for temple work across the world. We are pleased to report that starting in 2016 and throughout 2017, this request was achieved. We do not need to rely on extracted names for temple work. As leaders, we cannot overemphasize the importance of everyone, including the rising generation and new converts, working diligently on behalf of their deceased ancestors. We are the Lord's agents in this work of salvation. The combination of greatly increased numbers of temples and advanced technology for family history work make this the most blessed time in all history. Let me share with you the challenge and vision that President Russell M. Nelson has provided for those who engage in this magnificent work.
As church members, our interest in family history work has been motivated by instruction from the Lord that our ancestors cannot be made perfect without us, and we cannot be made perfect without them. That means we are to be linked together by the sacred sealing ordinances of the temple. We are to be strong links in the chain from our ancestors to our posterity. It's wonderful to turn the hearts of the children to their fathers by telling important family history stories in ways that are accessible and memorable. However, if we leave it at that level, we haven't really done enough. If we know who our ancestors are and know marvelous things about them, but we leave them stranded on the other side without their ordinances, such diversion will not be of any help to our ancestors, who remain confined in their spirit prison. And that means sacrificing time we normally spend on other activities. We need to be spending more time in the temple and in doing family history research, which includes indexing. I would like to extend a challenge to each one of us. I invite you prayerfully to consider what kind of sacrifice, and preferably a sacrifice of time, you can make to do more family history and temple work this year. Brothers and sisters, together we are engaged in the work of Almighty God. He lives. Jesus is the Christ. This is His church. We are His covenant children. He can count on us.
One of our major, if not our principal, emphasis this evening is to have leaders, and especially temple and family history consultants, not only teach what needs to be done, but also promise the blessings that flow as a result of uniting eternal families on both sides of the veil. Whenever we teach an important doctrine, we also teach the blessings that flow as a result of living the doctrine. When we teach tithing or the word of wisdom, we promise the blessings that result from being a full tithe payer or by complying with the word of wisdom. We need to do the same with family history. I testify to you that doing family history work will bring great blessings. Those who do family history work on Sunday can help make the Sabbath a delight. I testify that the youth of the church and new converts will have greater protection from the adversary if they will immerse themselves in searching for their ancestors, preparing their names for sacred vicarious ordinances available in the temple, and then go to the temple to perform baptisms as authorized or to stand as proxy for them to receive the ordinances of baptism and the gift of the Holy Ghost. They will have true joy and an overwhelming sense of having united and healed families on both sides of the veil. President Russell M. Nelson, after his ordination as the prophet and president, in his first address to members, chose to speak from the Salt Lake Temple. He said, "Begin with the end in mind. The end for which each of us strives is to be endowed with power in a house of the Lord, sealed as families, faithful to the covenants made in the temple that qualify us for the greatest gift of God, that of eternal life." He continued, "Your worship in the temple and your service there are for your ancestors will bless you with increased personal revelation and peace, and will fortify your commitment to stay on the covenant path." He concluded, "Whatever your concerns, whatever your challenges, there is a place for you in this, the Lord's church. You and generations yet unborn will be blessed by your actions now to return to the covenant path." End of quote. As one of the Savior's apostles, I testify that President Russell M. Nelson is indeed our president and prophet. I testify of the divinity of the Savior and the reality of his atonement, and that under the Father's direction, he guides this celestial work of salvation and exaltation. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Our Father in heaven, we're grateful this evening for the opportunity to come and to be instructed in this mighty work of the latter days. We're grateful for the inspiration and impressions that we've felt, and we ask thee to bless us as we go forward in our respective roles and responsibilities, that we might have the faith to go and do according to those thoughts and impressions. We ask that thy Spirit might be poured out upon the earth, that this work might go forward, that it might be hastened in its time. For these things we pray and thank thee for, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.